Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Today's show is brought to you by Show Dog Prep School. Online courses, webinars, and mentor programs on demand at showdogprepschool.com. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I'm your host, Laura Reeves, and I am joined today by Leslie Jaseph, and Olga's going to say her last name for me.
Forish.
Excellent. And we're talking about Sealyham Terriers. Olga is a breeder in Sweden, yes?
Right now in Sweden.
Yes, in Sweden. And Leslie is a handler, an owner-handler, very successful owner-handler in a very low number breed and a very difficult terrier breed to work with.
I also bred my first litter in 1976.
Yes. Oh my goodness, of Celia's?
Yes.
Oh wow.
I was so a junior handler.
Oh wow.
And
you started with Celia's?
My mom had Airedales, bred and showed Airedales, and I always loved Sealies. And nearby was a woman who bred Airedales, Edna Dobbins, who also bred miniature Schnauzers. And her kennel, well, first of all, she showed Sealies for Surgeon Pride Kennels.
Surgeon. All right.
And then her kennel help was a young high school senior named Marjorie Good.
Oh my God, Marjorie. That is awesome.
So we've known each other for a very long time.
Right.
And I had a bitch that I had gotten from Edna, and Marjorie had a niece.
Okay.
And then Patsy Wood had a sister to mine, and so we were all interconnected.
In this little breeding circle.
Yeah.
Wow. And so how did you meet Olga?
About 12 years ago, 11 years ago, her now husband, Frederick Oz, was over here in the United States working for a breeder of Airedales, and he had his Sealyham with him, Doris.
Oh,
and I fell in love with Doris. She was a beautiful Sealy. And social media makes a much smaller world. And so we reconnected on Facebook probably 8 years ago.
Awesome.
And I saw them at our AKC, at Sealyham Terrier, the centennial show that we had for the club. And I asked them if they were going to be breeding any litters coming up because I'd liked what they were breeding. And they said, well, yes, we're going to be having our dream breeding. And it was a Doris son to a Doris daughter.
Oh, my gosh.
And I said, well, I'd be very interested. Let me know.
Right.
So about 9 months later, that litter was born.
Oh, my gosh. And who did that make?
Just continue.
They told me that there were four girls and one boy.
Yes.
Born the day after my birthday, actually.
Oh my gosh, so perfect.
It's perfect.
Yes. And so they sent lots of videos and we talked about it and I hadn't decided. I thought I had decided when I went over and this little girl puppy just claimed me. And so she turned out to be four leg top secret Xenia on a top.
That was Xenia.
James Bond litter.
Yes, that was Xenia. So,
yep.
Very nice. And she's beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
So you are the breeder of Xenia.
Me and, yes,
and your
Frederick.
Husband, yes.
It's mostly on, it's Frederick's name that is the breeder.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it was your dream litter because why?
Well, Doris is the first Sealyham that Frederick ever had. Mm-hmm. And I started just 2 years before Frederick started his adventure with Sealyhams. And I bred two litters under my own prefix in Poland at that point. And I kept from one of the litters, from the second litter, I kept a male. It was absolutely gorgeous. And actually, that's how we met with Frederick. He contacted me long before we were together.
Oh my gosh, yet another dog story.
Exactly. He just contacted me asking for Milo, for the boy. Well, it didn't happen at that point, but it happened several years later when we were together with Frederick, and that was our first litter. Yes, our first litter.
Together.
Together, exactly.
Okay. And so that really is pretty special.
Oh, very special.
And Xenia is the dog that you've done a lot of winning with here in the U.S.
She's done very well.
Yes. And owner-handler, top owner-handler terrier.
Yes.
And so you are working with the toughest group for competition and the toughest terrier breed to trim
That's what I keep hearing. But see, that was the breed I learned to groom on.
Right.
So for me,
for you, it's normal.
Right. And their coats can be different, mm-hmm. but it's like any dog. You have a different texture or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's learning mm-hmm. how to trim that dog and then trim that dog for its confirmation.
For its confirmation. Mm-hmm. Right. And so you do very well also in regular groups. I mean, you're not just in the owner-handler group.
No. And I mean, always say it's an East Coast Terrier competition, mm-hmm. which is some great dogs.
Incredible.
Some great handlers.
Yep.
And I'm always in awe when she's, you know, it's an honor to be placed in one of those, even pulled in one of those groups.
Yeah, and you consistently place in them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so besides the fact that you started young, mm-hmm. and, you know, I mean, you've been at this for a long time, what made it so that you could go into that group ring with those tough competitors and feel like, I got this? So talking to our listeners who want to learn how to be successful like you, who sometimes feel like owner handlers don't get a fair shake.
This is a discussion that happens on social media all
yes.
the time.
Yes. So I'm asking your input.
You have to go into the ring with your dog trained and prepared like any other person in that ring. And I don't care who it is. It can be any handler that you emulate and watch and observe how they handle the dog and how they comb and when they're grooming them and have them on the table. And understand that they don't just do that right before they go in the ring. It's okay. during the week. It's preparation and it's trimming and it's maintaining the trimming. Mm-hmm. It's just, you can't make an excuse if you're going to be an owner handler. You've got to go in and you've got to be prepared. And your dog has to be prepared.
Absolutely. So that's a two-way
yeah.
street.
Yeah.
And Olga, talk to us. Europe is much more relaxed. Would that be a fair...
In a way, yes, because there is just not that many handlers, professional
right.
handlers.
Right. And so you've watched shows here in the U.S. Mm-hmm. You've been to the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
So give our listeners, what is it that is better about European shows and what is it that's better about American shows, in your opinion?
That is a tough question, or probably, you know, for another podcast. But, well, we love me and Frederick both, we just love the fact of the professionally groomed and handled dogs here, because the general level of grooming is just much higher here. Mm-hmm. It probably helps that you can use some products that we can use in Europe, but in general, we were always focusing on how the dogs look here in the US. Well, of course, I mean, if you compete like Leslie compete against all the big handlers, mm-hmm. is it in a breed or in a group, mm-hmm. it makes it tougher for her,
mm-hmm.
absolutely. So in Europe, we have maybe famous and very well-known big breeders, mm-hmm. maybe breeders, judges, mm-hmm. but not as many professional handlers. So that is the relaxed part
right.
that you mentioned that makes it maybe a little bit easier for average person that mm-hmm. works hard mm-hmm. to actually be able to compete on a high level.
Mm-hmm. But the quality of dogs in Europe is amazing, and particularly mm-hmm. in certain breeds, maybe mm-hmm. more than others.
Oh, yes.
The terrier breeds, some of the sighthound breeds.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I understand that some of the sighthound breeds in Sweden are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And the terriers are amazing mm-hmm. in Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would think that the terrier group in Sweden is the toughest in... I would be as brave to say toughest in Europe, mm-hmm. that is the Swedish Terriers. But, I mean, I'm not saying we have beautiful dogs in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, just this little extra that is put
right.
in US.
Yes.
A little extra.
A little extra. Just a little.
And a lot more shows.
Well, and that was exactly where I was going, Leslie. And so I think we could talk a little bit about that. And I've talked to a couple other people. I interviewed Jason Lynn
mm-hmm.
from the UK, and he talked about doing up a poodle without electricity at the show.
Mm.
Exactly. Right?
Exactly.
And the fact that even in the UK, a small area, you have way fewer number of shows.
Mm-hmm.
So share a little bit about what that ambiance, how it is at the dog show, just generally the atmosphere.
In Europe. Well, you know, the number of shows, I can agree that, of course, in US there are much more shows, but mm-hmm. on the other hand, if you look at how huge US is mm-hmm. and then compare to whole Europe,
right.
then probably it's not that different because just in Poland, small Poland, you have quite many weekends with mm-hmm. three or four shows every weekend. So it's,
okay.
you know,
okay.
but yes, there are, and in general, there are bigger shows than here in the U.S.
Bigger entries.
Oh, yes.
Why do you think that is? I'm serious. I ask this at all my European people I talk to. I'm like, why do you guys have so many more people?
But maybe it has something to do with the fact that it's still a hobby for average people. Mm-hmm. Maybe it has something to do with it. But yes, I mean, there is world show. There you will see over 20,000 dogs.
Right.
So you will never get an entry like that in the U.S.
We're excited because the Orlando shows, the AKC National Championship, it's got 4,000 dogs. That's a huge dog show here. And I was trying to explain to somebody the other day, I'm like, okay, World Dog Show, 20,000 dogs. Crofts, how many? I mean,
it's 25. But it's still, I mean, same.
Huge.
But, you know, Swedish Winter Show, for example, that is like, I think, like 6,000 dogs. Mm-hmm. And 4,000 dogs, is it big? But quite normal international level show in Europe. So it's not anything like, it's wow in a way. But of course, you know,
right.
In national small shows, it's 1,000 dogs.
Okay, so not too much difference. Just the fact that some of those shows get such a huge entry.
Absolutely.
Right, okay.
Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute. All right, crew. Last month, I was filling you in on the Trupanion Breeder Support Program. And in case you missed it, this is a free program for breeders that lets us offer our buyers, our puppy buyers, a go-home day offer so that they can try out Trupanion and everybody has the peace of mind that that puppy is covered in case of any kind of an incident. But I was talking to Haran recently, and I didn't realize at the time that they actually have a breeding rider that is additional to the regular healthcare coverage that Trupanion offers our dogs. And so I wanted to bring Haran Greer from Trupanion back to tell us about it because I was blown away. So welcome, Haran.
Thanks, Laura. Thanks for having me back. And I'm happy this came up in conversation.
Yeah, right? So tell us about it. This is pretty incredible to me.
Yeah, so I'll just start at the basics. You know, so if you join Trupanion, we just have one simple plan. It's 90% coverage for the unexpected illnesses, accidents, and injuries. And then from there, breeders can add a breeding rider coverage to make sure that they're protected from the unexpected things that can happen with breeding.
Okay, so what does that cover? What kind of things are you covering in your claims with the breeding rider?
So it's truly things that are unexpected. So anything that you can't plan for in advance is what Trupanion gives you peace of mind from, right? But with the breeding rider, you know, the most common claim that we see are for C-sections.
Mm-hmm.
But as I was looking through, I was curious just to see what kind of claims we have been seeing in the past year. I was surprised that pyometra payouts have exceeded what we've paid out for C-section.
Wow.
So the claims paid ranged from the lowest one that we paid out was $1,740, and the highest one to date this year has been $5,500.
That's pretty incredible. So how much does a person pay to add that breeding rider to their regular insurance coverage?
So that rider has variables. You'll want to give us a call or go to our website. The factors are things like where you live, what breed you have, is it a male or female, how old are they, and then the deductible. And those deductible options is where, you know, the flexibility comes in for your monthly payment. And those range from zero to 1,000.
Okay, beautiful. So check it out, listeners, puredogtalk.com. You can find the Trupanion website. Just click that logo and it will take you in to get lots and lots of information about some stuff that I think not all of us always think about. So thank you, Haran. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks so much, Laura. I hope to be back on soon.
And so as you are breeding Sealy hounds, and this is still, are you guys still kind of considered a threatened, like numerically?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
So as you're working, and I talked to a lot of people with these, I did Dandy Dinmonts in Sussex and Otter Hounds. I just did an amazing interview with the Otter Hound people. Talking about how do you work those pedigrees? How do you make those pedigrees work when, do you have any idea what your worldwide number of dogs is? Any idea?
I don't know worldwide. I know I'm on the board of directors for the American Sealy and Terrier Club, and I do know our numbers were up last year from the year before, hoping they'll be up again for 2017.
And so up to...
AKC doesn't post that anymore. They don't post the dogs.
If you request it, just FYI, I just had an interview with Mark Dunn. If your national club requests it, they will give you the numbers.
Okay.
Yep. They will give you actual numerical
I think they
count.
Moved up five steps from where they were, and they were down in the 120, upper 120s. And so any progress is great.
Right.
Pedigrees is, and that's another thing that sent me looking to Olga and Frederick.
Sure.
Because I had always loved Doris, but the style that they breed is not that different from the style that you see here in the United States and what I had always liked.
Right.
So I was looking for something that was tightly bred, mm-hmm. which Xenia is, but that I could bring here and breed to just about anything and find a complementary match for her.
And so you're looking for a phenotype match rather than a genotype match.
I had to at that point, mm-hmm. yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we'll do that again. I mean, she just had a litter almost 4 months mm-hmm. ago, and that was a genotypic match. Since I brought her over, people have sort of fallen in love with four-legged Sealies.
At least do one.
Well, a couple others.
Yes.
And I was able to
one sitting in my house. Full disclosure.
I was able to breed her to her nephew, who is owned by Marjorie mm-hmm. Good.
Okay.
And so we had a really lovely litter.
Oh, yes.
Really mm-hmm. lovely litter. Very strong in breed type. And now next time she'll be bred to something that's actually frozen semen. And okay. it'll be a phenotypical breeding.
Interesting. So, okay. And so as you're building these pedigrees, as you're, you know, creating this family of dogs that has that look that you like, what is it? What are the strengths? What are you hoping to really focus on and bring forward maybe in your phenotype breeding that you're trying to work on?
Very similar to what we actually got in this litter of puppies. Mm-hmm. What I see in the breed is whenever anybody's showing a dog where they're talking about their Sealy, I'll say, take your standard and get out your ruler. Our standard hasn't changed since 1974.
Okay.
So we like that part. Mm-hmm. Now, the style there are some variations of style, but it still should be pretty much consistent. Mm-hmm. Balance is the thing, of course, in any dog you want the balance.
Right.
Get out your ruler and measure the dog and compare it to the standard and break it down point by point. And you need to know where your dog's strengths are and what you need. And then I look in a bigger picture, since I've been doing this for a while, is mm-hmm. where is the breed strong?
Right.
And where does it need improvement?
So what would be your thought? Where is it strong and what, as a whole, across the breed? Where is it strong and where does it need help?
I will say, just from what I like, instead of criticizing the breed.
No, just across the board. I mean, there's always going to be strengths and weaknesses.
I think all in all, there are decent coats. I think all in all, movement is pretty good. Mm-hmm. I think within the different styles, you have good balance. Mm-hmm. Even if the dog is a smaller or a lighter bone version mm-hmm. or a bigger one, there's mm-hmm. good balance in the breed. Mm-hmm. Where I think we need to pay attention as breeders is tail sets and length of head. Because I think we're getting heads that don't measure or aren't quite long enough. The furnishings do a great job.
Sure.
of sure. making it look nice. But you need to think about the fact that they were bred to hunt badger.
Right. That strong jaw.
You've got to have those strong yep. jaws. And yep. a powerful neck, but not too long. Mm-hmm. Just that flows nicely.
Pretty neck and a shoulder that's so
Patsy would always said, there's no better looking dog in a group when it's done up than a Sealy. And I've had other people tell me that, too. And I think there's something when you have a dog with a very nice style and good mm-hmm. type and it's well presented,
right.
it makes a very striking picture.
Absolutely.
But I think angulation, I think mm-hmm. we could also work on, mm-hmm. especially on the rear. And that goes mm-hmm. with the tail set. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, that whole package.
Mm-hmm.
And the butt.
the little butt.
Like butt.
And
below
so
the tail.
Having just, you know, read the Sealy Standard again,
yeah. mm-hmm.
talking about that breadth. Across the crew,
mm-mm.
right? And talk about what that does for the dog functionally as badger hunters.
Going to ground mm-hmm. with those little hind
Absolutely.
Legs.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they really have to have that power. And I will see mine in our backyard. We have wild critters. And so they do like to go and get moles. And we have red fox and all mm-hmm. of that as well. So we do have to watch them. But when they go to ground, all you have to do is see that front end go down. And that little rear end has to be strong enough to be controlling the motion of the dog going back and forth underground. Because right. at that point, it's not the front feet anymore. Mm-hmm. And so that angulation
So going forward, but also getting away.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
You got to get away from something that's coming
yep.
at you.
Because when that head's underground, if mm-hmm. they see something, mm-hmm. they've got to be able to control their mm-hmm. forward and backward motion. I've seen
Excellent.
This on ours at home. But if you don't have that angulation and right. you don't have the strength of the mm-hmm. hindquarters mm-hmm. and the
and
way
that
it's
breath.
Set, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Excellent. You mentioned something earlier, and this is good for our listeners, but it's also fascinating to me, just personally. you were talking about the standard and the measurements. Mm-hmm. So lay those out, because this is one of the more interesting standards I've read. The standard is very specific. This should be this, and this should be this, and this should be this.
This is what I think where people get a little misled about looking at a Sealy from ringside. They go, oh, it's an oblong dog. And by silhouette and profile, it is. However, when you read the standard, it is supposed to be 10.5 inches, withers to ground, withers to set on.
Set on
of tail.
Okay. Right.
And so I always tell people, if you're looking at a photo, mm-hmm. or even if you're ringside, cover up mm-hmm. in front of the withers mm-hmm. and cover up behind the tail. Mm-hmm. And you should have a square dog mm-hmm.
right.
in body. What gives them the appearance of being longer is that length of head mm-hmm. and powerful mm-hmm. neck.
And they carry a strong shelf behind. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay.
And so that nice mm-hmm. butt tushy mm-hmm. that we were talking about.
Back to
behind,
that croup and the shelf.
Absolutely.
Okay. Excellent.
So that would be one thing. The other thing we were talking about heads is I'm seeing in some photos now, it does not say this in our standard parallel planes, not like the Scotty standard. Mm-hmm. However, you want to have a nice back skull. You mm-hmm. want them to appear parallel. Mm-hmm. And again, going back to what they were bred to do.
Right. And so are you seeing the planes diverge
yeah.
somehow?
I'm seeing
more,
more
down
rounded.
Face? Oh,
a
rounded.
Little more in the okay. down face, but a little more rounded, not as strong a back
behind.
Skull.
Okay. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
I'm picky about
this. No, but this is part of what we're helping people mm-hmm. understand. Mm-hmm. There are details oh, about yes. breeds that matter mm-hmm. and what makes a Sealy Ham and not a Scotty mm-hmm. and not a Westie and not mm-hmm. a whatever, any of these short little powerful dogs, mm-hmm. those are those details that count.
Oh, I'll throw one more thing in. Bone.
Yes.
Bone.
Mm. Strong.
Need to have those nice feet, because they talk about the feet as being, you know, big mm-hmm. front feet are larger mm-hmm. than the hind
yes.
feet.
Which mm-hmm. I thought was interesting.
For the digging.
mm-hmm. okay.
But nice bone. When you put your hands on them, you should feel... You can look at the base of a tail
mm-hmm.
and
okay.
see what kind of bone they have.
Okay.
Even if it's a natural tail, you should be able
yes,
to see that.
Base,
right?
Base,
mm-hmm. right, right, mm-hmm. as it sets
exactly.
on.
And clean mm-hmm. heads. And, mm-hmm. and I do like to be able, from ringside... To see if it, to be able to tell if it's a male or a female.
Oh, okay.
And the standard does say bitches slightly less.
Yes.
And it doesn't differentiate. It just
right.
is across the
right.
board.
Right.
Bitches
just
slightly less.
Just a little bit less of everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Balance.
Okay.
Again, balance.
Mm. Okay. Excellent. So you're excited about being here at Westminster Kennel Club?
Oh, yes.
Have you been to Westminster
oh,
before?
Oh, yes. I've
okay.
been here
okay.
2 years ago, and our Ricky was shown sire to Xenia, mm-hmm. And Xenia was shown mm-hmm. then as well. Mm-hmm. So Ricky was best of breed, and that was absolutely fabulous. You know, to see him on the in the big ring
yeah.
there, down there,
yeah.
and our baby.
Yeah.
So that was wonderful, and it was Jeff Dawson showing mm-hmm. him, mm-hmm. and he was coned with Sally Sweat here, and he had a fantastic tournée in US. So that was a special, and it was the last show for him in US.
Mm. Yeah. Okay.
You know.
That I know. That retirement show was always
yeah,
a tough
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
He had also won the national specialty.
Yes.
yes.
So that
did.
Was a nice
he
year.
Did, yeah.
Good
yes.
year. Good year.
Mm.
And Xenia is entered?
She's entered.
She is?
She was entered. I was really hopeful.
You're not going to show her?
She's not here. She's at home. She just, having puppies
right,
and
you
pull the hair back
yeah,
and I
yeah.
thought, just not quite enough
oh.
hair for what would be expected at this show.
Right. Oh, that's disappointing.
So
anyway,
I have high standards.
I am. You know
that.
What? Owner handlers, listen up. I have the opportunity to bring this really great, and she's not quite there. Hello, that is the difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, never bring your dog out unless you feel that you can win, and never use, well... It was this and it was this and mm-hmm. they didn't like
no
that
excuses.
And they didn't
no excuses.
Excuses. You have to always have your dog in there and have them competitive.
I love it.
But see, you don't. I had border terriers. Did you know that?
No. As well as Sealys or before Sealys?
After. It was
oh.
a fun breed that didn't take much
cute.
Trimming.
Yeah.
We had gotten our first border back in 1978 from Marion DuPont Scott
mm-hmm.
and waited 2 years to get her. And she did very well. She was actually the first border bitch to win a Best in Show.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then we bred her. And a few years later, we brought her daughter here. She was 9 months old. And she won the breed from the classes.
Wow.
And she went on to be the second border bitch to win a Best in Show.
Very impressive.
And you're talking about large yes. shows, AKC Centennial
the
show.
Centennial, right?
She was third in the group.
Oh my goodness, for a border at that type of show, that's that impressive.
That was my other...
Yeah, your other devil.
Yeah, I don't have them now. People have the bloodline, it's still mm-hmm. around, and there's mm-hmm. frozen semen on mm-hmm. a dog that was sired by our male that we had. And turns out he's the son of our male, is the top producing border terrier sire of all time. Which I had no idea until I heard that from his owner.
Oh my gosh. Right?
Who knows this?
Who knew? Who knew? All right, ladies, thank you very much. I've enjoyed our talk. And I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Best of luck.
Thank you.
All right.
And now a quick tip from our friends at American Dog Fancier. ADF says, remember to thank the judges for your dog's award. And when you do, please make sure that you spell their names correctly. American Dog Fancier. Affordable show dog advertising. Mention Pure Dog Talk and get 10% off your first ad with American Dog Fancier. As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.